Good morning. This is Abby with your Daily Berlin Briefing for Tuesday, November 19th, 2019. According to a media report, Holger Friedrich, one of the new owners of the Berliner Zeitung, spied for the Stasi during the GDR era as a so-called inoffizieller Mitarbeiter. Research by the newspaper Die Welt am Sonntag shows that the IT entrepreneur and multimillionaire is said to have worked under the code name Peter Bernstein. Together with his wife Silke, Holger Friedrich took over the Berliner Zeitung in September. During his three-year military service in the National People's Army, or NVA, as a non-commissioned officer, Friedrich had spied on 20 comrades and, in some cases, provided compromising material on them. Die Welt refers to documents from the Stasi Document Authority that were made available to the research team of the newspaper. The papers show that Friedrich had met with Stasi officers for conspiratorial meetings from December 1987 to February of 1989. 12 mostly handwritten spy reports were provided by Friedrich, in which more than 20 persons are named. These mentions therefore led to the Stasi ordering, quote, measures against some of those affected. In one case, a soldier was to be reprimanded under criminal law. In the meantime, Friedrich has personally commented on the accusations in the Berliner Zeitung and admitted that he worked for the Stasi. When asked whether the handwritten Stasi reports bear his signature, Friedrich admitted, quote, "This is to be assumed. However, it was a forced situation." Friedrich described that he had been arrested by the military Department of State Security, quote, "under suspicion of escaping from the Republic." Since he was a member of the military at the time, he was also accused of desertion. In an interrogation, the Stasi left him only two options: the prospect of several years imprisonment or to collaborate with the Stasi officers. Friedrich explained that he had chosen the second option in order to, quote, avoid the acute coercive situation. He then had to sign a declaration of undertaking. The editorial board of the Berliner Zeitung declared that it would deal with the situation, quote, objectively and appropriately, stating also, quote, "we stand for independent journalism and, as in the past, will make our contribution to coming to terms with the history of the GDR." In the 90s, the Berliner Zeitung, which had already existed in GDR times, had its Stasi past examined by members of the editorial staff. Michael Meyer, editor of the paper and chairman of the management board of the Berlin Publishing House, also spoke about the Stasi report and declared on his own behalf, quote, "we were of the opinion that editorial staff members with a Stasi file could not work as writing editors in a liberal newspaper." With regard to the Welt am Sonntag article, he added that the restart under the new owner is still in progress. For the Berliner Zeitung, it's important in this context that the integrity of the reporting is most important, which includes a high degree of transparency, and added, quote, "the publication of Holger Friedrich's disturbing story is, in our view, a contribution to this transparency." The Friedrich couple's family holding company had acquired the Berliner Verlag from the Dumont Group in September. The parties agreed not to disclose the purchase price, and according to RBB, industry experts assume, however, that it is lower than the price paid 10 years ago, which was estimated to be in the three-digit million range at the time. A new pilot project of the Tegel prison is causing distress with neighbors. The reason for this is the Senate Judiciary's plans to set up an open enforcement model for preventative detainees in Tegel. Preventatively detained prisoners are the most dangerous offenders behind bars, sex offenders, and extremely brutal violent criminals. In these extreme cases, courts have ruled that even after serving their sentences, they still pose such a threat to the community that they must be kept away from it. The open enforcement of these criminals is a pilot project in Berlin. The administration says that this is a clear legal mandate from the law on preventative detention. The other federal states are also obliged to do so. In response to a question from the Berliner Zeitung, the Senate Justice Administration declares that all detainees in Tegel were convicted of, quote, sexual and violent crimes. Before being held in preventative detention, they must serve their prison sentences, the shortest of which was 2 years and 6 months for sexual abuse and 15 years for manslaughter. According to the Senate Justice Administration, by showing good behavior and after a green light from an external expert, detainees can currently qualify for, quote, relaxation measures, and then, for example, work voluntarily in a soup kitchen and even be released again. Since 2015, 15 people have been released from preventative detention in Berlin. In the future, only preventative detainees who have already been approved and tested for relaxation measures could qualify for the open prison program. Before the final decision, the responsible court is to be heard. As part of the EU-funded LIMES project to combat the Russian mafia and international vehicle trafficking, the Berlin police have seized dozens of weapons, including weapons of war, such as submachine guns and hand grenades. Some of these objects were presented to the public by the Berlin police on Monday. Over the past 3 years, the Berlin Criminal Investigation Department, together with German and European colleagues, took action against 88 organized crime groups, or OCs, and convicted almost 800 suspects, mainly from Eastern Europe. A total of 94 groups were investigated, including 20 in the area of Russian-speaking organized crime and 74 in the area of vehicle relocations. According to police, 2,255 preliminary proceedings were initiated and 243 arrest warrants were executed, and most of the proceedings are still ongoing. So far, 47 suspects have also been convicted. The amount of damage to all investigation groups is estimated at almost 60 million euros, and a total of 4.2 million euros was secured in the proceedings. In total, 685 stolen cars and trucks were confiscated, and more than 400 apartments were searched. Investigators also found cocaine, cannabis, and ecstasy, as well as weapons. According to police estimates, more than 10,000 vehicles were stolen by the various gangs. In the case of LIMES, over the last 3 years, the State Criminal Investigation Offices of Saxony-Anhalt and Saxony cooperated with the police authorities of Poland, the Czech Republic, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Sweden, and Europol under the leadership of State Criminal Investigation Offices, or the LKA, of Berlin and Brandenburg. The project, which has already been extended once and had a budget of almost 800,000 euros, has come to an end. The money was used to pay informants, but also to procure technology and finance unbureaucratic meetings between investigators. Thomas Zusebach of the Berlin LKA, who headed the project, said that the typical perpetrators would drive from Poland to Berlin, steal 8 to 10 expensive cars in several hours at night, move them to a temporary holding place before disappearing across the border. The cars were then later picked up by couriers and driven across the border. Only international police cooperation could combat these well-organized gangs. Berlin Police Commissioner Barbara Slovic said that security authorities repeatedly reach their limits, especially when it comes to cross-border cooperation. With the LIMES project, structures for a faster exchange had been created. The head of the LKA Brandenburg, Dirk Volkland, said, quote, "Those who want to fight crime successfully today must work together internationally." Zusbach explained that an international cooperation of the police was, quote, absolutely necessary. Some of the cars were dismantled in a flash and the parts sold and shipped all the way to China. Michael Will of Europol remarked that almost every EU country is affected by these gangs. After years of planning, the controversial Museum of Modern Art in Berlin is about to start construction. The president of the Prussian Cultural Heritage Foundation, Hermann Potzinger, announced the groundbreaking ceremony for December 3rd. The construction costs for the project amount to around 450 million euros and were only secured last week by the Budget Committee of the Bundestag. The museum, designed by the Swiss star architects Herzog and de Meuron, had initially been calculated at 200 million euros, and while it was originally scheduled to open in 2021, the completion of the building is scheduled for 2026. Other prestigious buildings by these architects include the Elbe Philharmonic Hall in Hamburg, the Olympic Stadium in Beijing, and the Allianz Arena in Munich. The museum is to house one of the most important collections of 20th century art and will have 9,000 square meters of exhibition space. Two extensive private collections being left to the museum will each occupy around 1,000 square meters. To stay updated on local Berlin news every weekday, subscribe to our podcast by visiting berlinbriefing.de, hear us on Spotify and bearradio.org, follow us on social media, or enable our Alexa skill. Berlin Briefing will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening.